If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Special guest host, Jake Craig, for this afternoon. I am founder of RedKnucklePolitics.com. Filling in for Michael B. It is 2 minutes after the hour. We are going to be joined by a co-host for this afternoon's show, Scott Hofstra, from the United Kentucky Tea Party, in just a moment before I bring him on. On this particular show, it's based out of Texas, but we're turning the Texas studio into Kentucky for the next two full hours. Minus a 15-minute section, we've got focus with Nancy Mace, who is going to be a special guest on the show this afternoon. She's out of South Carolina. But we got two wonderful guests scheduled for this afternoon show. First will be Nancy Mace. She will be coming on from 5 to 5:15 Eastern Standard Time. And then we'll have Matt Bevin. He's going to be the premier guest, going from 5:30 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Like I said, my name is Jay Craig, filling in for Michael B. Hopefully we got a jam-packed show for you this afternoon with some good callers calling in. The call-in number is 718-305-7176. If anybody, the lines are open. If anybody would like to call in, I'm now joined by my co-host, Scott Hofstra. How you doing today, Scott?
I'm doing great, Jay. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Thank you for joining us. It's an honor to have you on the show, co-hosting with me. It's been a while since I've actually hosted a show, so it's good that on my return, I've got a fellow Kentuckian to back me up.
Thanks, Jay. Well, I appreciate you asking me to be on this afternoon.
No problem whatsoever, man. I really appreciate you being on. Won't you go ahead and share with our callers right now a little bit about yourself, who you represent, and what you guys do.
All right, thanks. My name is, as Jay said, is Scott Hofstra. I am the spokesperson for the United Kentucky Tea Party. The United Kentucky Tea Party has been in existence about 2 years. By its very nature, the Tea Party is an individual group effort. there is no central command like there is with the GOP or the Democrat Party. So in the state of Kentucky 2 years ago, a patriot from Kentucky by the name of John Kemper put together the United Kentucky Tea Party. We are the chairman, vice chairman, presidents, vice presidents of all of the Tea Party and Liberty groups within the state of Kentucky. We meet once a month, we discuss issues, and we work on programs together so that we can concentrate our efforts. And obviously this year, the biggest project we've taken on is our effort to retire Mitch McConnell.
Amen. Amen to that. What's your feelings on the Tea Parties that have spread out, that are popping up multiple throughout one county? What's your guys' take on that?
It's been interesting. I'm not real sure why that's happening. It's only happened in a couple of counties here in Kentucky. I know they don't – well, let me back up. The Tea Parties themselves as a whole are usually based on a couple of principles: smaller government, lower taxes, and fiscal responsibility. Some of these folks who are popping up small Tea Parties aren't necessarily adhering to those. They're kind of going off in their own direction, but they're playing on the Tea Party name.
It's like they're wanting to take it more into a power and influence thing, which is what we, you know, within the Tea Party are actually against anyway. But it's like some of these guys want to get into these Tea Party meetings, and if they're not the controllers, so to speak, they want to go out and branch out into their own, even though it's in the same county. And that, to me, it seems not to be, you know, necessarily unifying what we want to do. They're creating more of a division, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we've seen a couple of cases where the establishment GOP has actually started Tea Parties in counties that already had established Tea Parties simply to oppose the existing Tea Party.
See, and that I just can't grasp why they want to do that. As far as the Tea Party people themselves are wonderful people. I mean, you and I both attend the meetings regularly. We go to these meetings. We speak to and engage with all of the citizens that are in them. And for them to participate in multiple Tea Party meetings, it's nothing against them personally or specifically, but it just seems like more of a division than a unification, in my opinion.
Oh, it absolutely is. But that's what the establishment GOP is counting on. They want to try to drive as many wedges between us as they possibly can.
Yeah, it's not going to work here in Kentucky. What we're doing here is this afternoon's radio show, like I said, for the next 2 hours, devoted nothing but to Kentucky and Matt Bevin, minus the 15 minutes we've got scheduled away for Nancy Mace, who will join us later on in the show. But what we want, me and Scott, what we want to discuss this afternoon is we want to first get into some of the false attacks that Mitch McConnell and his campaign of Team Mitch is targeting and mudslinging against Matt Bevin, a great conservative candidate who is running against Mitch McConnell for the U.S. Senate in Kentucky. And the one that touches with us that is starting to get more ammunition added to it is the MIT. So if you want, Scott, if you want to kind of discuss the MIT on what you're hearing on how that issue even came to be about and what we're hearing back here in Kentucky from independent voters that are just now getting a listen of Matt Bevin.
Oh, absolutely. And this was another unfortunate lie that the McConnell campaign decided they needed to put out about Matt. Several months ago, the McConnell campaign put out a release that said that Matt had claimed on a resume that he had graduated from MIT when Matt had stated or done nothing of the sort. In fact, Matt didn't even have a resume. What they saw was a reference on LinkedIn to an MIT master's program that Matt graduated from in 2008. And what's interesting is that I'm looking at a photograph of that certificate. And it says MIT Entrepreneurial Master's Program presented the 21st day of June 2008. Matt attended this MIT program. He got the certificate from that program. He never claimed he attended MIT. He never claimed he graduated from MIT. He never claimed he had a resume that had MIT on it. So this
right.
was all fabricated by the McConnell campaign.
And it's just, I believe it's just an executive education program. Is that correct?
It is.
With MIT Woods?
It is.
Okay. So it's something like this, listeners, that Mitch McConnell, early on in the race, the people that were already in Matt Bevin's corner, we've heard about this MIT story months ago, many, many months ago. But what it continues to be doing is circulating around the Mitch McConnell circles. And then in this, I believe, was it in the fraud alert that was sent out to Kentuckians as well? Was that mentioned in there?
Yes, they reiterated it there.
See, and this is ridiculous. I mean, this is, and we can touch base on that as well. The fraud alert that was actually sent out by Mitch McConnell was sent out to, I don't know how many, but many, many Kentuckians received this. And it was a yellow mailing that they received. And it was, and it appeared to be very official, very, you know, from the government. Kentuckians opened it up and it said, oh, fraud alert from someone. You need to open this up. And when they opened it up, lo and behold, it was something political. And a lot of Kentuckians were very upset about this. And I believe you either wrote about it or talked about it, Scott, on what Kentuckians were doing and they could do about that fraud alert.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, our United Kentucky Tea Party put out a nationwide press release when that fraud alert came out. We received a number of emails and phone calls from concerned Kentuckians, particularly older people, who saw this fraud alert with their name on it and thought, oh, my goodness, has my credit been compromised? Has somebody got a hold of my name? You know, what are they doing? And they opened it up to find out it was a political slam by the McConnell campaign, and they were very upset about it. So what we recommended that people do is to call Mitch McConnell's offices, not his campaign offices, but his political offices in Louisville and Washington, D.C., and tell them, you know, we don't appreciate that kind of behavior on the part of our elected officials.
Right. And don't that to you signify basic psychological warfare being played by Mitch McConnell?
Well, and unfortunately, those of us who've been working in Republican politics in Kentucky long enough understand that this is how Mitch McConnell plays. He will not run on his record. He can't run on his record. His record is terrible.
Right.
The only weapon he has is to be the biggest bully in the room. And we've seen it in state politics with him as well.
So what, and let's run with what you just said as far as Mitch McConnell. I want everybody to hear this. Mitch McConnell cannot run on his record. So when we encounter new and independent voters, which we do on a daily basis around Kentucky, and you've got these newer guys and ladies coming up to us and saying, you know what, I'm liking what Matt Bevin stands for. I'm liking what he's about, but I just don't think that he can beat the Democrat in the general election. So I think I'm going to throw my support behind Mitch McConnell. What are you getting out of that, and what do you reply back with these individuals with?
Well, it's interesting. My response back to them, and now the polls are 3 or 4 weeks old, but there were recently two polls done in Kentucky. One was done by the press outlets in Kentucky, and the other was done by Rasmussen. And in those polls, one of the interesting things that it showed was that if Mitch McConnell ran against Allison Grimes today, he would actually lose to her in a general election by 4 percentage points. But if Matt ran against Mitch in that same, I'm sorry, if Matt ran against Allison Grimes in that same general election, Matt would actually defeat Allison by 6 points. So the polls are a little bit misleading when they show a gap between Matt and Mitch. The Rasmussen poll showed that Mitch was ahead of Matt by 26 points. Well, if that's the case, why isn't Mitch further ahead of Allison in the general election poll? Why is he behind her? He should be well ahead of her. So
exactly.
I'm not real sure.
Yeah, and I'm glad you touched on that, because the polls themselves, if you are outside of Kentucky, which I'm going to assume the majority of our listeners today are probably going to be calling and listening from outside the state, they're getting misinformation and erroneous information about these polls, because all they're getting is things from McConnell friendly zones of saying that Mitch is up 26 to 40 points. And the reason that is even relevant is because the name ID and the name recognition is still somewhat low for Matt Bevin in Kentucky. I think he's hovering around, what was it, 35 or 40%, if I'm not mistaken, of name recognition,
yep,
which signifies 60% of Kentuckians still don't know who Matt Bevin is. That is a problem.
Yep.
It's not just a problem, but it's something that is easier to handle versus Mitch McConnell's disapproval rating. when you're looking at Mitch McConnell, he is less popular in Kentucky than President Obama. That is extremely telling. When Mitt Romney won Kentucky by 23 points, and he won 116 of 120 counties in 2012. And Mitch, and since that, those are the facts, people. Those are the facts. And since those are the facts, you would think that Mitch McConnell would be leading Allison Grimes by an astronomical amount. I mean, you know, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's telling you had made the statement that Matt had 60% of the folks in Kentucky who have not seen his name yet. That same 60% number, the polls showed that McConnell has a 60% disapproval rating among voters in Kentucky, and only 32% of likely Republican voters would vote for him. So he has a really, really big disapproval problem in Kentucky.
Oh, that is very telling. Well, what we'll do, Scott, if you don't mind, hold that thought, and we'll pick that up when we come back from break. Once again, everybody, this is Jay Craig. I'm filling in for Michael B. on the Michael Berryman Show. We are on conservativenationmedia.com. We are going to take a quick break here on the soft break, and we'll be back to join Scott Hofstra, spokesperson for the United Kentucky Tea Party, and we'll be talking more about Matt Bevin and the Kentucky Senate race. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
If Sam Houston, Travis, Bowie, and Austin were here today, they would be proud of Texas, but they'd be ashamed of Washington. Illegal immigration is Washington's responsibility, but it's our problem.
Dan Patrick is the only candidate for lieutenant governor to oppose in-state tuition for illegal immigrants.
I'll do what Washington won't do. I'll secure our border, and I'll end sanctuary cities, and I'll never stop fighting against Obama's attacks on Texas.
Secure the border. Fight Obama. Dan Patrick for lieutenant governor.
Mitch McConnell has had a long career in politics, but after 30 years in Washington, is his leadership really the best that we can do?
McConnell has voted for higher taxes, bailouts, debt ceiling increases, congressional pay raises, and liberal judges.
I'm Matt Bevin. I approve this message because America deserves more than failed leadership. We can do better.
Matt Bevin, small-town roots, successful businessman, father of nine, veteran, conservative, Republican for U.S. Senate.
You're listening to The Michael Berryman Show on conservativenationmedia.com.
And welcome back, everybody, to The Michael Berryman Show. I am your special guest host for this afternoon, Jay Craig, and I'm joined by Scott Hofstra, who's the spokesperson of the United Kentucky Tea Party. And we're discussing Kentucky, the Kentucky Senate race, and Matt Bevin. And we've already touched base about the MIT fraud alert and some polls and the name recognition. What we want to talk about right now is go further in to how the polls themselves, and we briefly discussed the Rasmussen poll, Scott, on what you talked about, the disapproval rating of Mitch McConnell. If you want to tie into that a little bit more, just to give our listeners how much Mitch McConnell really is suffering here in Kentucky, and how Kentuckians are actually suffering from McConnell fatigue.
Yeah, absolutely. Mitch McConnell, like a lot of politicians, unfortunately, has become all about his big corporate donors. He no longer comes back to Kentucky for town hall meetings. He doesn't want to face the citizens. We've become very disgusted with some of his voting record. For example, in the recent debt ceiling bill, 2 weeks before the bill, he told Kentuckians that there was no way he would give President Obama a clean debt ceiling bill, that he would get concessions from it. And in the end, he rolled over and not only gave him a clean debt ceiling bill, he allowed the president an unlimited checkbook for the next 12 months to rack up as much debt as he could. So not only did he give him a clean debt ceiling bill, he gave him an unlimited checkbook to boot. These are just the kind of things where McConnell tells Kentucky voters one thing and does something completely different. And the Kentuckians are finally starting to wake up to that fact.
Oh, amen. Amen to that. And that's very telling in itself, too, because the debt ceiling increase is what got a lot of Kentuckians, and in my opinion, whether it was independent voters were staunch McConnell supporters. When they even got wind of that, they're saying, you know what, all this talk about you being a so-called alleged conservative has just went out the window because you're no longer standing up for our principles. And that kind of touches in and ties in with what I wanted to tell the listeners today and share my brief story with everybody on how I came to be about supporting Matt Bevin. I originally was behind Mitch McConnell. Yes, I know. If we had callers on the line right now, I would do myself. But I was in the corner of Mitch McConnell. I was supporting him. I was working on his campaign. I was going door-to-door, making phone calls, doing this, doing a little bit of everything, only because I had a bigger picture perspective. I was looking at the bigger picture radar of only getting and securing the U.S. Senate. I did not want to lose that seat. Well, it was based on my failed and poor mentality that I feel it is one of the reasons why we're in this mess we're in today. I mean, if people continue to use the mentality that I had, that we're only needing to win the Senate with a guy like Mitch McConnell, or for that matter, a guy like Lindsey Graham, which we'll discuss later on in the show, it's those individuals that no longer represent our values. They're no longer going to Washington and being a great asset for their constituents. These people are in office for way too long, and Mitch McConnell, 30 years, three decades, this man has been in office, and he continues to do nothing but vote moderate, or even for that matter, right along the sides with the liberal Democrats. And as you said, he got President Obama and Harry Reid, he gave them basically a blank check on that previous debt ceiling increase. How in the heck can Kentuckians, conservatives, or anybody for that matter, continue to put their support behind a Mitch McConnell when we do have a great, staunch conservative, phenomenal businessman, great family man, Matt Bevin? I mean, I just can't comprehend how they can continue supporting Mitch McConnell, Scott. So, I mean, for that matter, when you're getting a guy that is consistently voted against conservative values, and all we're hearing is all of these positive things that are supposedly coming from Mitch McConnell, like the Ann Coulter article. I mean, I don't know if anybody read her article, I believe, on Town Hall.
Hey, Jay? Hello?
I do apologize for that, everybody. It looks like the call got dropped. Welcome back to the Michael Berryman Show. My name is Jay Craig, filling in for Michael B today. The call-in number is 718-305-7176. The lines are open right now. We're talking about Matt Bevin, the Kentucky Senate race, Mitch McConnell, and basically why he is no longer representing our values. It looks like Scott just joined us back again. I apologize, Scott. It looks like we got disconnected somehow on there. What I was trying to talk to people about, I don't know how much you heard. I was trying to share my story with them on where I came from supporting Mitch McConnell and jumped over to Matt Bevin, basically because my conservative principles would no longer allow me to continue supporting a guy like Mitch McConnell. I mean, I am getting more and more people. The more times I share my story, when I'm able to address Mitch McConnell supporters or even independent voters, they're starting to be persuaded and engaged because what we're saying truly makes sense to them. They are starting to see the light to say we can no longer support and elect in these candidates and politicians like Mitch McConnell that are no longer representing the values we elect them to go to Washington to represent us for.
Absolutely. And as you said, as we talk to some of these McConnell folks, we're seeing more and more of that. But you still have the hardline McConnell folks who are saying, you know, he's the only one who can win this election. We need to keep the Senate. Well, unfortunately, the polls don't prove them out. The polls are showing that if Mitch McConnell makes it to the general election, he's probably going to lose this seat to Allison Grimes. So In order to retain this conservative seat in Kentucky, the only choice is Matt Bevin.
I agree. I mean, that's the thing. We all touched base on the Rasmussen poll, and that ties right into it. I know it's a few weeks old now, but that poll really is telling because it touches on the fact that Matt Bevin polls above the Allison Grimes in the general, and Mitch McConnell trails.
Are you there?
And Jay must be having some audio difficulty.
Welcome, everybody, back to the Michael Berryman Show. Looks like we are having some technical difficulties a little bit. Please bear with us. We do apologize. Welcome back, Scott Hofstra, spokesperson for the United Kentucky Tea Party. Sorry about that, Scott. I don't know what's going on with the system today. We'll pick up on what we were just discussing as far as the hardline Mitch McConnell supporters and what we're starting to receive from them. I mean, you and I are still getting information from them as far as, you know, their idea that we need to elect Mitch McConnell because he is our best bet to get the U.S. Senate. And they're telling us that they do not want to lose the Senate seat, which obviously we don't either. But they have to realize that we are going to lose that Senate seat if Mitch McConnell gets to be our candidate. You know, and this is something they're not grasping at this particular juncture.
Well, and I think more and more of them are starting to see that. But, yeah, there's still a hardcore group of Republicans that don't want to see that for whatever reason. They've invested a lot of time and energy in Mitch. And they just don't want to come to that realization.
Those are the people
we need to keep working on.
And sure. The enthusiasm is still extremely low, which is very beneficial for Matt and for us, because even though they're still somewhat in the corner of Mitch McConnell, the enthusiasm, even when I was on the McConnell side, I mean, it was so low. When you're going door to door or you're interacting with people in the general public, you're not getting very positive information about Mitch McConnell whatsoever. You know what I mean?
No. In fact, last week in Northern Kentucky, there was a Mitch McConnell grassroots organizing meeting to get people signed up to go door to door and make phone calls. And our group had folks out waving Matt Bevin signs, and we had more people show up to wave signs than McConnell had to show up for his grassroots meeting. So the level of enthusiasm on the McConnell side is very low.
That's right. That was at that Oriental Walk, I believe, in Fort Mitchell. And that was actually good. We got some pictures from that. We got a bunch of people with Matt Bevin signs hanging out in the front. And there's actually a guy here in Northern Kentucky that has a pickup truck. And I don't know if you got to see pictures or anything like that. He had 2 4x8 Matt Bevin signs in the back of his pickup truck in the front of this setting. So Mitch McConnell, I can just imagine being a fly on the wall inside when Mitch McConnell went into there to interact and to communicate with his grassroots volunteers.
I hadn't heard that, but I like it.
Oh, it's phenomenal. And those type of things are popping up all across the state of Kentucky, everybody. And once again, everybody that's listening, the call-in number, the lines are open. Call-in number is 718-305-7176. You are on the Michael Berryman Show. I'm joined by Scott Hofstra, who is the spokesperson for the United Kentucky Tea Party. We are going over the Kentucky Senate race and discussing Matt Bevin, Mitch McConnell. We actually have Matt Bevin coming on the air with us at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But before that, we've got another special guest coming on the air, Nancy Mace, who will be joining us at 5 o'clock p.m. She will stay on with us for approximately 15 minutes. We'll get her take on South Carolina and the Senate race that she has going on down there. She challenges Lindsey Graham. So we'll discuss that with her. But before we get to that, Scott, did you want to touch base? And we'll pick this up on the next we're coming up on the hard break. So if you want to get together and we'll talk about the Freedom Works event that's happening on April 5th down in Louisville, we'll have Scott mention that and talk about that after the break. But before we get there, I would like to say, just when you think you've heard everything, those leftists in D.C. pull something else. They're going to keep on doing it until we, the people, run them out of town on a rail. But what about in the meantime? What are you going to do to protect your family, your property, and your sacred rights as an American when the left-wingers try to redistribute food and who knows what in the name of social justice? Don't wait for the left to turn your world upside down. Get ready now. Make sure you can provide for your family in an emergency by going to the Patriot Depot, America's best-known warehouse for all your patriotic gear and survival needs. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. You'll find everything from the emergency food supplies to the patriotic gear you'll need today and in the future. That's Patriot Depot at conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins.
Hi, I'm former Dallas Cowboy Chad Hennings. You know, Texas is a special place to live, to work, and to raise a family. And it's important that we keep it that way. One way we can do that is to make sure we have a winning team of leaders who will serve Team Texas with honor and integrity. That's why I'm supporting Republican Ken Paxton to be our next Attorney General.
Really, man. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm with you 100%.
Ken is known as a man of strong conservative convictions who's not afraid to stand firm for Texas values. Ken's a man of faith, devoted to his wife and his family. In short, he's the kind of person you'd be proud to support. To learn more about Ken, go to kenpaxton.com. This is Chad Hennings asking you to support my friend, Ken Paxton, for Attorney General.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
It's no secret. President Obama is working to redefine America. Hi, I'm Nancy Mace, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate. My American experience was rooted in a strong, principled family that taught me anything was possible and that life and liberty are the foundation of the American dream. Now that dream is under attack by career politicians who lack the courage to stand against the leftist media and the party establishment to cut the deficit, defund Obamacare, and stop the NSA spying program. The truth? We need to fundamentally transform Washington, not America. I'm Nancy Mace, and I approve this message because we cannot change Washington until we change who we send to Washington.
If you agree with Nancy Mace that we need new leadership to restore the conservative principles that make America great, visit nancymace.org or follow Nancy Mace on Facebook.
You're listening to The Michael Berryman Show on conservativenationmedia.com.
Welcome back to the Michael Berryman Show, everybody. It is 33 minutes after the hour. My name is Jay Craig. I'm the special guest host this afternoon, filling in for Michael B., who actually went out of town this weekend to attend a Patriot rally that he's, I believe, going to be calling in to us sometime this afternoon to go over how that went down there in somewhere down in Texas. I don't know exactly where. But he's going to be calling in to us this afternoon. The call-in number, everybody, is 718-305-7176. I'm joined by Scott Hofstra, spokesperson from the United Kentucky Tea Party. And we are going over and discussing the Kentucky Senate race and Matt Bevin. We will have Matt Bevin on with us at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Before we do that, we will have special guest Nancy Mace coming to join us on at 5 p.m. to 5:15 Eastern Standard Time. Before we get there, we want to go over, and I got Scott Hofstra on the line. We want to discuss Freedom Works and what they've got planning on April 5th. So I'll let you run away with that, Scott, and discuss what we've got going on down there.
All right. Thanks, Jay. The United Kentucky Tea Party for this election has partnered with Freedom Works. And on April 5th, Saturday, April 5th, in downtown Louisville, Kentucky, at the International Convention Center, Freedom Works is hosting something called Free Pack, and you all have had Free Pack in Texas. There are 15,000 seats at this auditorium, and it will be an all-day rally for our grassroots folks here in Kentucky and across the nation. We have folks coming in from all kinds of states at this point. The headliner at that event will be Glenn Beck. Glenn has graciously agreed to come in and host this Free Pack event and to headline it. and we're looking forward to having him in Louisville, Kentucky. Also speaking that day will be Matt Kibbe, President and CEO of FreedomWorks, Deneen Borelli, who is the Director of Outreach for FreedomWorks and is also a Fox News contributor, C.L. Bryant, Andrew Wilkow, radio personality for the Blaze Network, and Becky Gerritsen, who's president of the Wetumpka Tea Party. And there are going to be apparently a couple of other speakers announced as well. And then, Matt Bevin will finish off the day. You can go to freedomworks.com or freedomworks.org, rather, and the tickets are $15. You can get your passes in advance.
That is awesome. I cannot wait for that particular event. Did they? Am I saying this correctly, that they could be expecting 15,000-plus people down there in Louisville?
Yes, they have 15,000 seats reserved for that. We're hoping to sell that out.
Wow. And what was the event that Glenn Beck held in D.C. where he had so many thousands upon thousands of people that lined up? Do you remember that?
I remember the event. I don't remember what they called it. But, yeah, that was at the Cowboys Stadium, correct?
Now, I believe he had something. No, he actually had something in D.C. In D.C. It was right in front of the Capitol building. I don't remember exactly what the event was. But when he had that.
He's done two in D.C.
Okay. Well, I know every event this guy holds, he packs the house. I mean, he brings the people. Whether you agree or disagree with him 100% is another story. I mean, he knows how to bring grassroots people together, which is really going to put this FreedomWorks event over the top with him being the guest speaker. And for him to openly endorse, mind you, Matt Bevin in this particular race is huge. And that kind of ties into what I wanted to discuss. And before we get there, it looks like we got a caller online. We're still waiting on another caller. So I think they're just wanting to listen to the radio for whatever reason. They're not wanting to call in, ask questions or anything like that. But what we got is these endorsements by Glenn Beck ties into two possible endorsements that you and I were discussing off the air. I'd like to go further into, and one of them is Ted Cruz, and the other is Sarah Palin. What is your thoughts of getting Ted Cruz's endorsement, even though we know, I believe, early on he said he was not going to endorse in this particular race?
Yeah, and it's interesting. Ted has said he wouldn't endorse, yet this week he declined to endorse Mitch McConnell, and then Ted serves as the vice chairman of the NRSC, and this week he stepped down from that position as well. So I don't know if that's putting him in position to endorse, but I would certainly think so. This week, too, with Rick Perry endorsing Mitch McConnell, that tells me all I need to know about Rick Perry. So I'm hoping that Ted Cruz, in his opposition to Mitch McConnell and in his opposition at this point to Rick Perry, would come out and endorse Matt Bevin. We're certainly hoping so. And then Sarah Palin, we've apparently talked to her. We're waiting to see if she will endorse Matt, and we'd love to have her endorsement as well.
Yeah, and that's very telling what you just said about Rick Perry, because he was actually at CPAC doing a side-by-side interview with Matt Bevin. I don't know if anybody got a chance to see, but Matt Bevin actually did go out to CPAC last week. He attended one day, and he gave interview after interview after interview. I mean, the man, he was a man on a mission at CPAC, and everybody enjoyed interacting with him and loved the chance and the opportunity to meet him. So for him to show up basically off the record, I mean, unexpected, mind you. Nobody expected him to go out there and show up at CPAC. And for when he showed up, from my grassroots individual volunteers and activists across the country, people that were doing their radio shows like this one that were actually on Radio Row at CPAC, oh, my goodness, they were happy to see Matt Bevin. They thoroughly enjoyed talking to him. And I believe Slate, which is not so friendly to the majority of us, they actually put together an article that said something about Matt Bevin does seven interviews in a matter of a couple minutes or something along those lines. But I'm glad that he actually got to go to CPAC, because that signifies that he is in this race to win this race. And a lot of people thought that he was not necessarily a national attention, not necessarily a national attention seeker, but a lot of people didn't think that he was out there outside of Kentucky. So meaning out, people outside of Kentucky didn't either know about him or didn't feel that he was really in this thing to win this. So what's your thoughts on him going to CPAC? And like I said, speaking side-by-side in an interview with Rick Perry, not that that's extremely telling, but now that we know he's openly endorsed Mitch McConnell, that really is frustrating.
Well, yeah, and it is. And you're right, at CPAC last week, Matt kind of did show up on his own and didn't anticipate getting involved, but he certainly was the one that they were looking to for interviews. He was a busy guy. I don't know where he found the time to get all those interviews in. But Matt does have an attention base outside of Kentucky. Obviously, with Glenn Beck's endorsement, with Mark Levin's endorsement, his name is becoming more known across the U.S. But you brought up a good point about whether or not Matt was a legitimate candidate. And when our United Kentucky Tea Party decided to endorse Matt, good grief, we went through an extensive vetting process, and we made an agreement with ourselves early on that we would not endorse a weak candidate who could not win this election. And we actually vetted two people. Matt was one of them. And we eventually decided after an extensive vetting process that lasted several months that Matt could win this election, and we agreed with his stances, we agreed with his positions, we liked him as a man of character, and we decided to throw our support behind him. And I think as more and more people, not only in the state of Kentucky but outside of Kentucky, get to know Matt, get to hear Matt, they see him as the guy that needs to be in Washington with Ted Cruz, with Mike Lee, with Rand Paul, trying to clean up the mess that's been created in D.C.
Amen. And I share that a lot as well. I mean, I tell people, especially independent voters, I mean, if they like Ted Cruz and they like Mike Lee, they're going to love Matt Bevin. I mean, truly, absolutely. The guy is a conservative candidate to the bone. There's nothing wrong about the guy as far as, you know, all the things that Mitch McConnell and Team Mitch, which is what we know they're built, you know, he's got a career of falsely attacking his opponents. Because as we mentioned early on, he simply cannot run on his record. I mean, he has 30 years of failed leadership and not representing Kentucky voters any longer. So Matt Bevin is the real deal, people. I mean, he really is. And I'm glad that you got to touch on, you know, your vetting process, you know, and just to see, you know, how the United Kentucky Tea Party came about, you know, supporting, not just supporting him, but truly vetting a candidate to see, is he the real deal? You know, is he a guy that really is not someone that just talks the talk? And after you spend 5 minutes with Matt Bevin, I mean, you instantly are just gravitated to him because, as we know, he's a talker. I mean, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. I enjoy speaking to him every time, and I've come to join, you know, create a great friendship with the guy. So when I came aboard and started to talk to him many, many months ago, even when I was on McConnell's side at that time, speaking to Matt Bevin, there's nothing wrong about the guy. You know what I mean? Like, you couldn't find anything wrong with him. And when you talked to him, you said, you know what? This is a guy that I definitely could see getting behind and supporting. And simply, when he spends 5 minutes with anybody, he just opens them up and persuades them. And that's exactly what he told me to the T. He said, I am going to get you on my side no matter how long it takes. And sure enough, he did. Now, a lot of that had to do with it because he is really, truly a great American, and he's the best individual, in my opinion, for this particular job. He has more qualifications in the public or in the private sector in his pinky than Mitch McConnell does over a lifespan of 30 years to be a constituent, a true representative for Kentuckians. So that's my thoughts on Matt Bevin. I mean, I really think he is a great individual, a great guy, a great father of nine children, mind you, four of them of whom are adopted from Ethiopia, married. He's from Louisville, but he actually is from a rural area in New Hampshire early on in his life. What else do we want to talk about? The endorsements with Sarah Palin you talked on, you briefly touched on. We do have some people that are that are in contact with her to try to square up because, Scott, as we touched early on off the air earlier today, she did an article or someone did an article on her, I believe on Breitbart, that said she is only going to endorse a candidate if they ask her, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was her article this week. Okay. She's told candidates that Obviously, she's going to vet them before she endorses, but she will only endorse if they ask for her endorsement. So I understand from the Bevin campaign that they have been talking to her about that. Mm-hmm. But while we're talking about endorsements, just, and I know the majority of this audience is probably in Texas, but I don't know if you folks realize that Mitch McConnell actually endorsed David Dewhurst against Ted Cruz. So yep. McConnell has a history of endorsing establishment Republicans.
Yeah, and I'm glad, that's a perfect point. I'm really glad you brought that up because that ties in. You know, we always consider ourselves, or some of us consider ourselves, you know, from Kentucky as being Texas's little brother. You know, because what goes on in Texas, you know, shapes the rest of the country a lot of times. And that's telling that Mitch McConnell supported and endorsed David Dewhurst just as well as he did here back in Kentucky with Trey Grayson. You remember back when Trey Grayson was running against Rand Paul, he was a Democrat turned Republican. The only reason why Trey Grayson actually switched over to the Republican Party is it's the only reason, only way he could have won. And then he ended up losing to Rand Paul. He actually got demolished by, you know, a buddy of mine who's actually, you know, on the Matt Bevin campaign, Mr. Bernie Kunkel. He's the Northern Kentucky field director for Matt Bevin. He actually helped defeat Trey Grayson as he worked for Rand Paul at the time. Because Trey Grayson, you know, was nothing but a Democrat, changed Republican just to try to get to win. And those are the type of people, ladies and gentlemen, that Mitch McConnell is throwing his support behind. And he's done that with a numerous amount of other candidates, and like you said, including David Dewhurst. But before we get in, we're going to touch base on another recent endorsement that came out from right here in Northern Kentucky by a mayor here, Jerry Peluso. Scott and I will discuss that right after this soft break we got to take. Once again, this is the Michael Berryman Show on conservativenationmedia.com. The call-in number is 718-305-7176, and we will join you guys right after this break. Thank you.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
In the race for Attorney General, there's only one constitutional conservative like Ted Cruz.
Ken Paxton stands and fights, whether it's against Obamacare, whether it's fighting for voter ID, or whether it's fighting to defend our religious liberty. And I'm proud to say Ken Paxton is my friend and fighting hard for the state of Texas.
Ken Paxton, endorsed by Texas Right to Life, A-rated by the NRA. He'll defend our Constitution.
There's only one true conservative running for Texas Senate. Connie Burton, wife, mother, grassroots conservative leader. Connie Burton will stand up for us. Senator Ted Cruz said Connie Burton wakes up every day fighting for liberty and fighting for every Texan. That's why Connie Burton is endorsed by Texans for Fiscal Responsibility and Texas Right to Life. Republican Connie Burton, the only true conservative.
And you're listening to the Michael Berryman Show on conservativenationmedia.com.
Welcome, everybody, back to the Michael Berryman Show. I'm your special guest host for this afternoon, Jay Craig, filling in for Michael B., as he recently went out of town this weekend to attend a Patriot rally down in Texas, so he could not join us this afternoon. But like I said, my name is Jay Craig. I am founder of RedKnucklePolitics.com. You can find me on there. We are a grassroots-led conservative news and opinion site. But you are joined with us. It is 50 minutes after the hour. Right here on Conservative Nation Media, I am joined by Scott Hofstra, spokesperson for the United Kentucky Tea Party. And the call-in number is 718-305-7176. Once again, that's 718-305-7176. Scott, I am about to bring on the air Mr. Johnny Embry, who has a few questions for you and what we're doing here on the air today. How you doing, Johnny? You're on the air.
Oh, I'm doing wonderful today. You guys sound great. Scott sounded wonderful, brother.
I just wanted to
quick comment. It has been great to work with Matt Bevin. Y'all are exactly right. Matt is what you all are saying he is. I have to tell you, absolutely, he's the type of person, strong Christian. I love being able to pray with him as well. So what I wanted to say, Scott, what I wanted to do was just to ask you to kind of answer a question right now. I just got off with Freedom Works myself, talking with some guys, and this vicious attack that seems to have so many Republicans right now, you know, kind of looking down at Matt. Scott, would you speak to the truth? Of the actual truth over this MIT thing. But you could just address that and just tell us the truth behind that, because a lot of Republicans keep on saying that Matt lied on that. And I just ask you, could address that real quick?
Yeah, Johnny, and we addressed it earlier on in the hour, but the McConnell campaign brought up that Matt had on his resume that he had attended and graduated from MIT, which Matt did not do. He did not even have a resume. What they saw was a reference on LinkedIn, which is a website, if you will, for folks who are putting their professional qualifications out there. Some people are looking for jobs on the site. And Matt stated very clearly on his LinkedIn site that he had been through an entrepreneurial master's program through MIT. And, I mean, I'm looking at the certificate of recognition from MIT, Entrepreneurial Master's Program, presented in June of 2008. He graduated through that program and got the completion certificate for it. But the McConnell campaign is blowing this all up into something it absolutely is not. But that's all they can do. They're a bully group. They don't run on their record, won't run on their record. So they try to twist things that aren't true in order to create controversy, to try to put a shadow of doubt in people's minds about good conservative people like Matt Bevin.
Hey, man. All right. I sure do appreciate it. Well, thank you so much. And I'd just like to say I think that Matt's a very strong Christian man, and we are behind him 100%. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Johnny. I appreciate you calling in, brother. Have a good one.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yep. Yeah, Scott. He made a great point as far as Matt being a pro, you know, a very good Christian, pro-life. His stance and his values really represent the values of Kentuckians, but for the most part, conservatives all across the United States. So a lot of people that are so-called either in the middle of the road or independent voters, so to speak, they're questioning whether he can win over the Democrats. Or what he'll do if he does get in there. A lot of questions I get from people, they're saying, you know what, I'm supporting Matt Bevin. I like what he has to say, but I don't know what he's going to do when he gets in office, because he's going to basically be the bottom of the totem pole. He's going to go in there with all of these other senators. And I said, you know what, the same thing could have been said about Ted Cruz. You know, when he first got in Congress, and he's arguably the most powerful man in Congress now, or at least as far as conservative Republican. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Trey Gowdy, there are any number of freshmen that have come into Congress and been able to basically become a voice of reason and actually get more attention than some of these folks who've been there 20 or 30 years who sit in their offices and do nothing.
Right. Yeah, I just can't understand for the life of me some of these people's opinions. Or, I mean, not their opinions for the most part, but just their understanding behind somebody, a new guy like a Bevin that's a non-politician. He's a, you know, that's what someone we need. We need someone with his resume to get in there so he would actually hold both parties accountable. And that's why, you know, a lot of us that are in his corner and in his camp, we believe that he is the next Ted Cruz. He is the next Mike Lee. He's going to go in there like a Rand Paul. And a lot of people have questions on why Rand Paul, you know, endorsed Mitch McConnell. We know that he did that early on in the race when nobody was even – when Matt Bevin hadn't even decided on running or not. And even for the most part, he's endorsed Mitch McConnell for his own personal 2016 run. I mean, he knows that Mitch McConnell has the political savviness and the power and influence to help him more than hurt him, at least from this perspective. I feel, and you can touch on this as well, Scott, but I feel he will definitely be humming a different tune come May 21st.
Oh, and I think so as well. And as you said, Rand Paul put his endorsement out there early before Matt had gotten into the race. And to his credit, I won't say I'm happy about the endorsement, but to his credit, Rand, being a man of character, has refused to back away from that endorsement. He's refused to be like a lot of other politicians in Washington who twist with the wind and put their finger up and determine which way the polls are going. He's a man of character, and he said, you know what, I made this commitment to Senator McConnell, I'm going to stick by it. But by the same token, as you said, he's not politically dumb. He knows what it's going to take to become the presidential candidate for 2016. So he's trying to line those blocks up to make that happen. And he knows he needs GOP support, and in doing so, he needs McConnell's support.
Right, and unfortunately, that's why a lot of the conservative Tea Party base, I mean, obviously they're upset. I mean, I'm not happy with, you know, him endorsing Mitch McConnell, but as you clearly pointed out, we know what his reasoning behind it is, at least at the time. I just think once we get past this primary, once Matt Bevin beats Mitch McConnell May 20th, which we know he will do, once he gets that done, Rand Paul's going to openly support and get behind Matt Bevin, just as the Republican establishment base will do. So the only thing behind that is how much money are they going to spend? How are they going to get behind him? Are they going to totally, you know, throw in the towel? What are they going to do? Are you hearing anything from establishment individuals that you may have contact with as far as what happens when Matt Bevin, excuse me, does in fact win the primary?
Well, I haven't heard a whole lot officially. I know there are some hardcore Mitch guys that have said, in fact, I had one tell me yesterday, you know what, if Matt wins this primary, screw him, I'm going to vote for Grimes. And I said, well,
oh my
okay.
God.
So what you're telling me is, regardless, you're going to vote for a progressive. You're either going to vote for a progressive Republican in Mitch McConnell, or you're going to vote for a progressive Democrat in Allison Grimes. I said, so how do you call yourself a conservative? So I'm really not sure. I'm hoping that the majority of the Republican base in Kentucky would go with Matt when he wins this primary. But right now I just don't have a real good feel for it.
That's the same thing that goes with the 2012 presidential election when we had, what was it, about 4 million conservatives that stayed home and didn't vote at all for Mitt Romney. They're going to use that
Absolutely.
Same mentality. They're going to use that same mentality here, you know, in Kentucky. And if they do that, they're going to suffer just as much.
Well, and we talked about the polls earlier. When the poll says that Mitch would lose to Allison by 4 points in the general, but Matt would beat her by 4 points in the general, and that Mitch's dissatisfaction rating is at 60%, his approval rating is only at 32%, what that tells me is that if Mitch happens to win the primary, when it comes to the general this fall, conservative voters in Kentucky are, A, either going to stay home, or, B, they're going to vote for Grimes. They don't want him as their senator.
No, and I agree with you. And I really believe that they'll actually stay home and do a repeat of 2012, only because I really just don't see the majority of them actually voting for a Democrat and progressive analysis run. So if I had to put my finger on the dial or whatever, I'd definitely say they sit at home if it's Mitch McConnell, because they don't want to waste away their vote and vote for someone that doesn't represent their values.
Absolutely. And the level of disgust in the state is just that high with Mitch McConnell.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, when I was doing stuff around the state in the campaign, the enthusiasm for that guy, even on his own team. I mean, as we know, with Jesse Vinton holding his nose, just waiting until after this race is over so he can jump back on board with Rand Paul. I mean, what is up with that guy, Jesse Vinton, who a lot of people in the circle around here in Kentucky just despise? They cannot stand the guy because of how he went against his values as far as supporting Ron Paul and Rand Paul. How in the life of anybody can he get behind a guy like Mitch McConnell after supporting those two individuals?
Well, and again, it's all about power and position. He knew that to work for Mitch McConnell would put Rand in a better position to run for president. And I don't know Jesse personally. I don't know what his thoughts are on Mitch McConnell. Obviously, the hold his nose to work for him is very telling. But I think that was a marriage between the two parties or between the two candidates to help solidify some things between them. But I think Mitch McConnell brought Jesse Benton in, too, because he thought Jesse may bring some Tea Party credibility to his campaign, when, in fact,
right.
Jesse has absolutely no Tea Party credibility in the state of Kentucky whatsoever.
None. Zero. And I agree with you, Scott. Let me stop you there real quick. Just we're coming up on the hard break. We got to step away, pay some bills here. Everybody, this is Jay Craig on the Michael Berryman Show. Call-in number is 718-305-7176. We're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we will be joined by Nancy Mace, who is the conservative candidate in South Carolina, challenging Lindsey Graham down there. We'll get her take on that particular race. And bear with us just a few moments. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service, 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get a 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. Then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad you did.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Career politician Lamar Alexander has lost his way. Thankfully, Tennessee conservatives have a better choice. Conservative Joe Carr has a dependable record of standing up for conservative principles. In the Republican primary, conservatives will vote for Joe Carr, not Lamar. Lamar says we should be patient about fixing the debt. Joe Carr says the debt bomb must be defused now. Vote conservative Joe Carr, not Lamar. Lamar voted with Democrats to protect Obamacare from conservative Senator Ted Cruz. Joe Carr stood with Cruz to defund Obamacare. Vote conservative Joe Carr, not Lamar. Lamar voted with Barack Obama to reward illegal immigrants with citizenship. Joe Carr led the effort to stop the growth of illegal immigration to Tennessee. The choice is clear. Only Joe Carr, not Lamar, will defend conservative Tennessee principles.
I'm Joe Carr, and I approve this message. Join me at carr4tn.com, paid for by Joe Carr for Senate.
Friends, Texas is a special place where the family farm and ranch are still the backbone of our culture. Texas was built from the ground up with grit, honesty, and integrity. Our next agriculture commissioner should possess those same traditional Texas values. Sid Miller has proven he's that kind of man. A man with a lifelong history in Texas agriculture with strong convictions that can lead and make difficult decisions. Sid is known and respected across Texas as a true conservative and champion of our Second Amendment rights. As the chairman of the State House Agriculture and Livestock Committee, Sid fought hard for Texas farmers and ranchers. He's a lifelong cattleman and understands the issues facing Texas agriculture. Sid is a dedicated Christian family man who is committed to protecting everyday Texans like you and me. Let's elect a man with true Texas values to be our next agriculture commissioner. Vote for Sid Miller for the future of Texas agriculture.
Paid for by the Sid Miller Campaign. Ted Nugent, Treasurer.
Live from Patriot Studios in Hazlett, Texas, this is The Michael Berryman Show on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
Welcome, everybody, back to the Michael Berryman Show. I'm your special guest host this afternoon, Jay Craig, filling in for Michael B. It is 5 minutes after the hour. Call-in number is 718-305-7176. I'm joined by my co-host, Scott Hofstra, from the United Kentucky Tea Party. And we've been talking about the Kentucky Senate race and Matt Bevin for the first full hour, but we are now joined by a conservative candidate down in South Carolina, who's actually challenging Lindsey Graham She is now on the air. We are joined by Miss Nancy Mace. Nancy, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Jay and Scott. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you coming on. What we want to do is, thanks for coming on the Michael Berryman Show, to kind of share with our listeners. Like I said, for the most part, it's been about Kentucky, but what you're doing down there in South Carolina is extremely similar to what we're trying to accomplish here in Kentucky. Is by removing Mitch McConnell, you're trying to do the same thing with Lindsey Graham, correct?
Right. We're trying to replace a career politician with new leadership in South Carolina, and I am very excited about this race. South Carolina is a runoff state, and our primary is on June 10th. And folks can, we only have a few minutes this afternoon, but if they want to learn more about this race or about my candidacy, my website is nancymace.org. But I jumped in August of last year, and to date we've had just an enormous amount of grassroots support from folks all across South Carolina, across the country, in fact. And just after 4 months, by the end of December, I'd raised about $400,000.
Wow.
And worked very hard. And we have 26,000 fans on Facebook today. Went from zero to 26,000 in a few months. I mean, it's just been really amazing.
I'm one of them.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. It's been humbling, too, to see that kind of support, because people, quite frankly, and I'm sure it's the same way in Kentucky, but they're ready for someone new. They're ready to replace folks who've been up there for too long, and the only way we're going to change Washington is if we change who we send to Washington.
Amen. Amen. Nancy, what we wanted to do is, too, we wanted to let you share your story just a brief. I know we only got a few moments with you this afternoon, but kind of share with the listeners on why you entered the race, and if you could explain the amount of the people that are running in that particular primary. Does that help or hurt your chances as far as with that particular runoff, and if you could explain how that runoff process works?
Right. Well, I jumped in August. My husband and I were sitting around the kitchen table, and I was complaining once again about things that were happening in Washington. He just looked at me and he said, put your money where your mouth is, or go help somebody else. And 4 days later, I literally jumped in, and I have not looked back since. Once I decide I'm going to do something, I'm going to give it 1,000%. Many folks in South Carolina know me as the first woman to graduate from the Citadel, and I did that in 1999. I graduated magna cum laude and went on to work with one of the leading technology consulting firms in the world, Accenture, got a master's degree from UGA, and then in 2008, I never thought I'd be a small business owner, but in 2008, I started my own small business doing technology and marketing consulting. And I just feel I'm very passionate about my beliefs, and I believe that the people of South Carolina, their voices are not being heard right now. And I want to go to Washington, and I want to represent those voices, those people. And I'm the gal, I believe, that can do it. I've been able to deliver in my personal life under enormous scrutiny, and I've been given opportunities in life to overcome challenges. And starting your own business is not easy, especially in these economic times. And that perspective is missing in D.C. I mean, these folks are stuck in the Industrial Revolution and the Industrial Age. We're in a data-driven economy today. Mm-hmm. And that's something I can take with me up there that is unique to the folks who are in Washington now.
I agree. And what you're going through down there in South Carolina is extremely similar to what we're doing back here in Kentucky. How does the actual runoff process work as far as with the multiple candidates, I believe? I don't know how many you guys got in there now.
I think we're up to six now. It seems like every time I read the newspaper, there's somebody else is jumping in. But our actual filing period is the second half of March. I think it starts tomorrow, essentially, for the last 2 weeks of the month. And we'll see who ends up actually filing and for real in this race. And then as long as Senator Graham doesn't get above 50% plus one, the top two candidates go into a runoff 2 weeks after the primary. Senator Graham has dropped 6 points or so in the last 6 or 8 weeks. He's sitting at about 45% right now. And so his numbers are starting to go down really before this race has even gotten started. And the undecideds are going up. They're at about 35%. And, you know, I'm working really hard every day to ensure that my message gets heard. My radio ads went up a week and a half ago or so, and then or 2 weeks ago. And then my TV ads just went up on broadcast on Thursday. So I'm really excited. While Senator Graham's campaign seems to sort of be going in the wrong direction, ours is moving forward in the correct direction. I'm very excited about that. But all that costs money. And so I'm out every day asking people to chip in for gas money. I've visited about 30 counties out of 46 so far. I've got 16 more to go. And I need all the help I can get.
That's awesome. What, if you could share with everybody, like, what can they do to help out? Because we're experiencing the same thing in Kentucky as far as we have a lot of support outside of Kentucky. And everybody wants to know what's the best way that they can do to help besides donations. Do you have anything as far as out-of-state phone callers? Well, they can actually make phone calls.
Sure. Folks can phone bank from their living room for our campaign if they want to. And there's a place to sign up on nancymace.org on our website to do that. And, you know, our grassroots, my campaign headquarters just opened up last week, and that was another exciting moment for the campaign. This is real now. I've worked really hard to get here, and it's exciting and very humbling. But aside from gas money, but, yeah, folks can – write letters, they can participate in our phone banking. In order to sign up for those activities, they can do it online on the website. And we've got folks, I heard some folks in Texas, in fact, last week, they want to get a caravan together and come out and help knock on doors towards the end of the race.
Nice.
So it's just been really been very motivating and very, very humbling to see this.
Now, what that is awesome to hear. Do you have any type of information, like what's your thoughts on our race here in Kentucky, if you have any, as far as Matt Bevin? We've got a great candidate.
Yeah, no, I've been very focused on my race, so I haven't been paying attention. I know that there are races, you know, like ours out there right now, but I've been just so focused on mine because this is an uphill battle, like what Matt Bevin is facing. It's David versus Goliath, and I'm not going to have $7 million to run ads 24/7. And so we've got to look at things from all perspectives and go 1,000%. I'm sure it's very similar for what y'all are experiencing too as well. But the grassroots and the living room dollars, even though we have, you know, much smaller checks, we've got a lot of them, like 6,000 folks have donated to the campaign so far, and having that momentum, I think will carry us to the runoff. Because as long as my opponent is under 50%, there will be someone in a runoff with him, and that's when the primary will really heat up.
Well, you have us in your corner, and hopefully that person in the runoff is Nancy Mace. And hopefully, and that's how Ted Cruz. I mean, a lot of people don't, you know, remember that, but he won in a runoff. You know, he got that candidate in a runoff, and he ended up winning, and now he's arguably the most powerful man or powerful individual, you know, in Congress. So we definitely our hats are tipped off to you. Scott, is there any specific question or anything you'd like to ask Nancy before we, you know, let her take off?
Well, my only question is, Nancy, with Lindsey Graham's censoring by the GOP in South Carolina, how does he have any support?
Yeah, I mean, well, if you look at the polling, if you know what polling you look at, he really only has about 30% of Republicans who are going to vote for him no matter what. That's a very vulnerable position for any incumbent who's been in Washington for 20 years, who's has $7 million in the bank. It's not a good place to be. And if you're going down in the polls like he has in the last 6 to 8 weeks, this far out, then, you know, I think he's going to continue to lose support, because when folks hear that there are others running, that there's someone who is credible and has the ability to deliver a win in this race, we're seeing our numbers go up when that happens. And so it's just a matter of really getting that message out there to folks.
That is awesome.
I just look at everything Lindsey Graham has done and wonder how anybody can support that man.
I know. Well, it was ironic last week. I'm sure, I don't know if y'all read or not, but when it was alleged the CIA was spying on Congress, Senator Graham said he thought heads should roll, we should be at war with the CIA. And I just sit there and I say to myself, I really wish he would defend our rights, our Fourth Amendment rights, as much as he's defending his own. And that's why we have got to get someone new up there who understands what it's like to start a business, to work hard in this country, and who understands that our Constitution has meaning. It has value, and we ought to read it again, and we ought to listen to it and look at it. They're no better than we are.
No, amen. Yeah, I agree with you. It's like, I agree, because nobody is going to Washington any longer, and they forget to represent for the constituents that actually send them there to that job. And it's sad that they stay in office for 20 and 30 years, and the same voters continue to elect in these individuals. But I love what you said, and I continue to say it as well. The only way we're going to change Washington, people, is to change the people that we actually send to Washington. Nancy Mace is actually one of those individuals in South Carolina. Nancy, before we let you go, share with our listeners one more time on what they can do to donate and help out with your particular campaign down there.
To donate, I need folks to go online and chip in. It's Nancy Mace, M-A-C-E, like the pepper spray, .org. And you can go online to chip in there. You can sign up to volunteer. You can sign up to receive emails from folks. But I'm trying to get as much support and help like y'all are in Kentucky right now from folks all across the state of South Carolina. If there are folks that want to help in other states as well, we welcome it. This is a nationwide effort. So.
Amen. Thank you very much, and we'll continue to throw our support in your corner. We appreciate you coming on this afternoon, and good luck down there in South Carolina.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and good luck in Kentucky, y'all, as well.
Thank you very much. You have a good one.
All right. Thank you. You too. God bless. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Well, that was Nancy Mace, everybody. She is the conservative candidate running against Lindsey Graham down in South Carolina. We are blessed to have her on the show. Great woman to talk to. I mean, she shares our same values and beliefs, and she's going through very similar things down, you know, as we are here in Kentucky.
Absolutely. Yeah, and she's running again against an incumbent with a lot of money and a lot of time in office. And unfortunately, what used to be a seat or a position of responsibility that the founding fathers assigned to citizens has now become a career politician kind of seat. Mm-hmm. And it's harder and harder for people who really have the burning desire to serve their fellow citizens to be able to get into those seats.
Yep, I agree. Okay, hold that thought just for a minute. We're coming up on a soft break here. We've got to step away, pay some bills real quick. When we get back, we're going to be joined by the founder, Michael B. He is the host of this show, Michael, the Michael Berryman Show. The call-in number is 718-305-7176. The lines are open. We will step away for just a few moments, and we'll be right back.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
He's become a leading national voice defending our Second Amendment rights and fighting Obama's attacks on Texas gun owners. Dan Patrick.
This is America, and our Constitution gives us the right to bear arms. This is not Tokyo. This is not Finland. This is the United States of America. Mm-hmm. And in America, where law-abiding citizens have guns, crime is down.
Fight Obama. Defend our Second Amendment rights. Dan Patrick for Lieutenant Governor.
During 30 years in Washington, Mitch McConnell has become part of the problem. McConnell has voted for higher taxes, bailouts, debt ceiling increases, congressional pay raises, and liberal judges. Yet we have no solutions for our problems, just more politics as usual. America deserves better.
I'm Matt Bevin. I approve this message because America deserves more than failed leadership. We can do better. I grew up in an old farmhouse, 6 kids, 1 bathroom, no shower, no central heat. I served in the military and have lived the American dream. My wife Glenna and I are blessed with 9 children, 4 of whom we adopted. Kentucky deserves better than failed policies from Washington. Political bullies more focused on scoring points than solving problems, and an elite political class that puts power ahead of principle. We must do better. As your senator, I'll represent Kentucky values, not Washington values. Please join my campaign today. Together, we will change Washington. Together, we will do better.
You're listening to The Michael Behrman Show on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
Michael Behrman Show right here on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. I'm Jay Craig, your special guest host for this afternoon show, filling in for Michael B. The call-in number is 718-305-7176. We have been discussing the Kentucky Senate race, Matt Bevin, but we just got done having an interview with Nancy Mace, who is the conservative candidate running down in South Carolina. We will be joined by Matt Bevin here in just a moment. But before we get there, I'd like to bring on the one and only Michael B. As soon as we get you on there, Michael?
Here, guys. Yeah,
what's
I'm here.
What's going on, bro?
I'm smack dab in the middle of God's country down here in the hill country of Texas. It's been spring break. I took my family camping down in Comal County on the Guadalupe, and had a Tea Party rally I spoke at yesterday. Ken Crow was down, you know, one of the founders of Tea Party Patriots. Wayne Dupree, Stacey Rush. We had a really great event yesterday in Martindale, Texas, in Caldwell County. Caldwell County's named for Captain Matthew Caldwell, revolutionary patriot here in Texas. And I'll talk about that in just a second. First, I want to thank you, Red Knuckle Politics, and Scott, for stepping in and filling in for me today, guys. I really appreciate it. You know, I was listening to that interview with Nancy Mace, and Jay, you were spot hit on. That's how we did it here with Ted Cruz. We're run off state too, just like South Carolina. I'm not sure about Kentucky. If we could take Lindsey Graham, if we could get anything less than 49.9%. Right now, Nancy Mace, or whoever it is, I hope it's Nancy, they need to be fighting for that runoff position.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
It would be nice to win, be nice to win it outright, but let's fight for that runoff position, because guess what, guys? The people that go back to vote in a runoff are us, the establishment.
Oh, yeah.
So Lindsey Graham's going to get his 30 or 35%. They'll go out and vote for him the first time. They'll go back out in a second. So we just got to take him to a runoff. Same with Matt Bevin. You know, it's so important what South Carolina and Kentucky are attempting to do. And all I can do is urge people that are listening to y'all's show, y'all helped us in 2011 and 2012. And we took down our sitting lieutenant governor, whom me and the Tea Party here in Texas are about to take down again and finally retire him and let him ride out into the sun. He's been a good man. All politicians have a shelf life, and
this is worn
out. And we're ready for a new lieutenant governor. We're ready by the name of Dan Patrick. We're ready for a new attorney general, Ken Paxton, and that's because we're sending our sitting attorney general to the governor's mansion. We're ready for a new railroad commissioner with Wayne Christian. And we're ready for a new agriculture commissioner in the name of Sid Miller. And, you know,
Getting ready to try to put a new speaker in as well?
Well, yes. We made several changes in our House of Representatives in 2012. Key changes. We narrowed Joe Strauss's leadership down to about two or three of his lieutenants, moderate rhinos out of South Texas. And Joe Strauss is a very liberal Republican that likes to cater to the crowd down in South Texas, which, I understand why, but it doesn't work for the rest of Texas. We fired four more of his lieutenants. He's now only got one lieutenant. It looks very much like with our 84th Congress next January, we're going to finally be able to put Joe Strauss out to pasture, where he belongs, shoveling up cow manure. I mean, that's just about the end of it right there. Joe Strauss is a righto. He appoints Democrats to committee chairs. He's just no friend to the Republican Party, especially not Texas. He doesn't represent Texas values. You know, that's what that whole Tea Party rally was about this weekend that I just attended, Texas 38. We have 38 delegates. And we're not really in the fight front lines down here. Battleground Texas has proven to be a joke. You know, Wendy Davis did worse than the last four Democrat people in candidates in a Democratic primary. The Democrats barely pulled in 517,000 votes for their Democrat primary, as opposed to 1.5 million in the Republican. Now, granted, voting is down overall on both sides, but it was horrible for the Democrats.
It is, but true grassroots. What we're getting behind in Texas and everywhere, Kentucky, South Carolina, the true grassroots voices are definitely being heard. I mean, that is being heard all across the United States.
Well, you know, listen, and I know you're up against the heartbreak, Jay. Yep. And Scott, I really want to thank you for co-hosting with Jay today. Let's talk about getting you guys on the radio doing something out of the bluegrass state there. But, you know, this month, March is a special month for Texas, and this is what I talked about yesterday at our Tea Party rally, Patriots for Freedom rally. You know, 178 years ago, and why this is a little bit of Texas history, but it applies to all of us. It applies to every grassroots conservative or Tea Party activist or 912 activist or liberty activist throughout the entire country. You know, and this is just a small, this just represents one little aspect of it. 178 years ago in Texas, you know, our founding patriots, about 185 of them, 189, noble hearts, gave their lives in the cause of human liberty down in San Antonio de Berja at the Alamo.
Yep.
And they did so because they had moved here from Kentucky, from Tennessee, from South Carolina, from all parts of America. They moved here because of what Texas represented, what it gave them in life, free land. They wanted the land. And they took an oath to the Constitution of 1824, which was a constitution modeled after our very own Constitution. And when Santa Anna usurped that Constitution and with military despotism, built a centralist government on the backs of a broken federal union, and usurped the Constitution, the Texans, my forefathers, my fourth great grandfather, General George Whitfield Taro, who was Attorney General for the Republic, met in solemn convention, and they said that they would not be led under tyranny. They would not live under tyranny. And they met in solemn convention. And they picked up arms against that. Now, I'm not condoning picking up arms against our government yet.
Right.
But we're getting darn close.
But it's the foundation and the philosophy that they shared back then is what is also still shared today with the grassroots, the Tea Party, particular people that are truly passionate and concerned about the direction of our country.
It, you, Scott, Nancy Mace, Matt Bevin, me, all Ken Crow, Wayne Dupree, all Bean Fisher, who is after us today on his show, American by Design. We fight in the same vein as Crockett, as Bowie, as Bonham, and of Travis. We fight in the same vein, in the same cause for liberty.
Amen, brother. Amen. Hey, Michael. How did the Freedom – well, we'll talk later about the Freedom Rally. I'm coming up on the hard break. I want to take this break real quick, and then we got our interview coming up with Matt Bevin. Appreciate you calling in, brother. Thank you for allowing me to co-host the show this afternoon. Great to hear that you had a great time down there at the rally, and I'll get with you off the air to get some more information on what went down there. I appreciate you calling in, brother.
Thank you. Just put me on mute so I can hear, because I'm having to call in and listen via my phone. I'm on the road.
All right. We'll do it, brother. Thanks, man.
Thanks.
All All right, Scott, that was Michael B. on the air with us. It is Michael Berryman Show. I'm your special guest host, Jay Craig. We are on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. We are coming up on the hard break. We're going to step away, pay some bills real quick. And then after that, we are going to bring our special guest on the air, Matt Bevin. What we've been doing is discussing the Kentucky Senate race and Matt Bevin, and we had Nancy Mace on the air. We did an interview with her talking about her candidacy and her challenge against Lindsey Graham. Very great woman to speak to. Very great. She had some awesome ideas and solutions. But we're going to focus on Kentucky from this point forward. The call-in number is 718-305-7176, and we'll be back in just a moment.
If we want to truly change the failed policies of Washington, D.C., it is imperative that we change the self-serving career politicians that are continuing to haunt the halls of Congress. This election is a choice. Will we continue to give more power to this little intellectual elite, or will we start down a new path? A path that empowers people to make decisions in their own lives. I have a vision for a new Republican Party, one that is united by the hardworking entrepreneurial spirit of Americans of all races, colors, and creeds. A party that avoids the cultural cancer of division and hyphens, whose core values shine as a beacon to our fellow citizens and to the world, and that state clearly, without equivocation, that we are one nation, under God, indivisible. This campaign is not about any one or two or three individuals. It is about the future of Kentucky, and it is about the future of the United States of America. This is a battle for whether or not this is still a government of and by and for the people, or whether it's going to be of and by and for an interconnected handful of back-scratching folks in Washington, D.C. I firmly believe that if we the people step up, if we the people step up at the ballot box, if we take back our country, exercise the constitutionally given right we have to have a voice in our future, a voice in our country, a voice in the direction in which we go, that the best days have only just begun. This is our voice that will be heard. This is our time to stand up and be counted. And we must not fail.
Welcome back to the Michael Berryman Show. My name is Jay Craig. I am your special guest host, filling in for Michael B., who we just had a discussion with. He's taking a break down there at the Freedom Rally down in Texas. We are joined by my co-host, Scott Hofstra. He's a spokesperson for the United Kentucky Tea Party. But who I'm about to bring on is the premier guest of the show. He is the conservative candidate challenging Mitch McConnell here in Kentucky. And we want to welcome on the show right now Mr. Matt Bevin. How are you doing today, Matt?
Jay, I'm doing outstanding. I really am. Thank you so much for having me on.
No problem. I appreciate you joining us. We discussed, for the most part, throughout this entire 2 hours, basically everything on what we're hearing here on the ground in Kentucky. And we discussed your CPAC visit, and we talked on what the polls, on what they truly mean to us. And your name ID and name recognition, what are you hearing, or what do you like to see when you're going out to all of these multiple events from everybody, whether they're independent or undecided, based on the message that you're getting out there? And then just for you to share on what you'd like to do once what you can do basically for Kentucky and why you're running.
Sure. Well, boy, there's a whole lot of things rolled up in there. Let me try to take them in somewhat the order that you threw them out there. But, one of the things that's very reaffirming, that's encouraging as I go out, and whether I'm speaking to a room with a dozen people in it or 100 or 200 or any number in between, You know, people want leadership. They want someone who will fight for them, someone who will tell them the truth, even when the truth is unpleasant, and that will actually be, you know, someone that will represent what it is that they want represented, somebody that will not just be simply a vote from time to time, but a true voice for some, somebody who will actively fight to represent them. And so I do, regardless of people's ideology, tend to speak mostly to Republicans, but a lot of independents and even a number of Democrats here in Kentucky as well, who want the exact same thing. And we're conservative, as you know, here in Kentucky. We're a conservative people. Probably two-thirds of us easily are very socially conservative and fiscally conservative to varying degrees. And we're the kind of people who want representation for how we think. In terms of, you know, the message that I'm bringing to people, I'm a person who believes in a constitutionally limited government. I believe it's easy to say you want smaller government. Well, what does that mean? Well, I want a constitutionally limited government, one that is smaller because it complies with the Constitution, one that recognizes the fact that the 10th Amendment makes very clear what are the responsibilities at the federal level, what are the responsibilities at the state level, and those that are not clearly defined within the document that we know as the Constitution are the responsibility of the states and of the people. I'm somebody who believes that very firmly. I'm a strongly pro-life candidate. I'm very strongly in support of our Second Amendment rights. I believe shall not be infringed should be interpreted exactly as shall not be infringed. I'm somebody who believes that cronyism is destroying this country in both parties, this collusion between big government and big business, between big labor, all of them scratching each other's backs, all trying to protect each other, all of them milking the taxpayer. This kind of cronyism has got to end, because really we use that word, and a lot of times people don't really understand what that means. They know it's not good, but really cronyism is nothing more than people that are getting special favors in exchange for political donations, and that has to end. I'm a big believer in term limits. I'm a big believer that our government has no business whatsoever in spying on law-abiding American citizens. These are things that move me. These are things that motivate me, and these are things that have drawn me to this race. But probably the singular reason that I am in this race is because I know that we cannot continue down this path financially, that we as a nation, certainly as a state, that even as individuals, we know that we cannot continue to pile debt on top of debt. We cannot borrow our way out of debt. We cannot print our way out of debt. And if we become insolvent as a nation, so many of these other things we care about become rendered moot. They're irrelevant if we become insolvent. And so I say, what's going to change it? We know we're on a bad path. We know we can't pile trillions on trillions on top of the $17.5 trillion that we've already got and expect it to end well. So what's going to change it? It's easy to wish for something to be different, but somebody has to step up and do it. And the way it's going to change is by electing men and women who actually understand how the wealth of the nation is even created. If we keep sending people to Washington who want to be the experts on how to redistribute that wealth and how to tax that wealth, how to regulate that wealth, but none of them in their lives have any experience with actually creating that wealth, how in the blazes is anything going to be improved? I'm running against a man, in the case of Mitch McConnell, who has never worked in the private sector in his life. He got out of law school nearly 50 years ago, and he's been on the public dime ever since. He's done quite well for himself, mind you, on our dime, but he certainly doesn't know. He doesn't know how we operate. He doesn't know what it's like to walk in the shoes of a small business owner or of a parent or family trying to struggle to make ends meet for their children, people trying to wrestle with what passes for the public education system these days, people dealing with the regulation and taxation. He doesn't understand. And frankly, increasingly, what I'm hearing from the people of Kentucky is that they don't believe he cares. All of this gives me encouragement, coming back to the first point that I made. And I'm getting an increasing sense that people are ready, really ready, to exercise their rights at the ballot box and to make a change.
They are, and I'm glad that you spoke on that, because we are hearing positive message right here in Kentucky. And just, you know, so you know, this basically is a Texas radio show. So the majority of listeners, you know, they are national, but this is a Texas show. So you're going to be speaking to people that are not necessarily in Kentucky. So throughout this first 2 hours, we've been explaining things that we've been hearing here for months, but they're just now getting the information. So that's why when I shared your story on when you went to CPAC, unexpected, and everybody within the conservative movement on radio shows and whatnot, they are phenomenally excited about you and your candidacy because they are so sick and tired of Mitch McConnell, yes, but when they hear from true grassroots individuals, you know, that are on the ground, speak such so highly of you as an individual, not just, it's not anti-McConnell as much as it's pro-Matt Bevin, which is what I feel that it should be. We need to focus on the type of character and integrity and values and pro-life and the stances that you actually bring to the table, not necessarily what Mitch McConnell has done wrong, because quite frankly, we have so many examples to pull from of what he has done wrong. But I think we get more and more voters on your side by stating on what you are about and what you can do to help them better Kentucky and how it creates a domino effect throughout the United States and the Senate. So if you wanted to touch base on you're talking to people that are outside of Kentucky, on what can they do to help you out and help your campaign as far as continuing to spread your message?
Well, I appreciate that question, and I would say to listeners, not just for my campaign, obviously selfishly the part of me would want your support, and I'd be grateful for it, but please consider supporting other people, not only in your own state but beyond, who are also in similar races, because we hear a lot of discussion from people about this being a battle for the heart and soul of the Republican Party, but I'll tell you, it is so much bigger than that. What is at stake really truly is, as was noted in the promo, there was a little snippet that was played before I came back on of a speech that I gave. And what I challenge people to realize is this is bigger than that. This is a battle for the heart and soul of the entire political process. Because there's a handful of people in Washington, D.C., and in various state capitals that believe they're in charge, that believe it's of and by and for a few. But my challenge to all of your listeners is to realize that this is still of and by and for the people, but only if we exercise that right and that privilege, only if we take the responsibility, only if we step up and turn out at the ballot box and make it so. It is our privilege. 1.5 million of our fellow citizens have given their lives over the last 235 years for us to have this privilege, for us to have this right, and shame on us if we don't do it. And I'd be grateful if people want to learn more about my campaign specifically, they could just simply go to my website, which is my name, Matt Bevin, 9 letters, MattBevin.com. And they could tie in. There's a lot of different ways. I'd be grateful for any financial support because I don't get my contributions from lobbyists and from big corporate PACs. I get them from people like the listeners to this show who give $10 and $25 and $50 and $100 at a time. And every one of those we're grateful for, and every one of those contributes to helping us get this message out. But we're not alone. You know, you mentioned people, you know, in South Carolina. I think you mentioned you'd had Nancy Mace on. There's a lot of people that are fighting hard to get their voices heard in various races, running against incumbents, running against the establishment. And this is healthy. This is good for the party. It's good for those respective states, and it's good for America. So I would be grateful for any – here's the last thing I'll say on this, Jay. We used to think that we had 50 or 100 years. We used to think we could somehow deal with this somewhere down the road. Somebody's going to be left holding the bag. Well, I'm telling you, we don't have that kind of time anymore. I think we have this election cycle in 2014. What we do in the U.S. Senate and what we subsequently do in 2016 in the White House is going to determine whether America can be dialed back from the brink or whether we can't. And by brink, I'm talking about the brink of insolvency. If we continue to spend as if there is no limit to the amount of debt we can pile on, we will turn this thing upside down. So I would encourage people to be engaged.
Amen, brother. I couldn't have said it any better. I mean, that's perfectly stated that we have to stand up at the ballot box, and we have to stand up and true to our principles, and we have to do it today. We can't do it next term. We can't do it, you know, just like we waited in the presidency race, or, you know, we didn't vote for this person or that person because we wanted to wait until next term before that can happen. Well, that's what we've gotten with 30 years of voting for Mitch McConnell. You know, we didn't get the $17 trillion in debt by Republicans alone. We didn't get there by Democrats. It's American debt. We got there by both parties, which is why a lot of us feel that you, by getting elected and going to Washington on behalf of us, will hold both parties accountable. And we need someone to stand up to our principles.
A lot more as well. We need a lot of bodies up there to start thinking differently.
Amen. If you could hold with us just a few minutes, we're going to take a quick break on this short break, and we're going to join you back on the other end for a couple quick questions. We appreciate having you. This is the Michael Berryman Show. My name is Jay Craig. I am the special guest host filling in for Michael B. You are on conservativenationmedia.com. We will be back in just a few moments with Matt Bevin, conservative candidate for U.S. Senate in Kentucky.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
In a recent closed-door speech to donors, politicians, and media, Bill Clinton spoke about American gun owners. Quote, a lot of these people, all they've got is their hunting and their fishing, or they've been listening to this stuff for so long that they believe it all, unquote. And we all remember Barack Obama's 2008 comments to a room of San Francisco elites. Quote, it's not surprising then they get bitter. They cling to guns or religion, unquote. The arrogance of their superiority requires this reminder. They don't rule us. They don't give us rights. We grant them power. They don't make us safe. We pay to protect them. They don't make us free. We're free already. And as long as we have the Second Amendment, we always will be. We are America, and our politicians are only as powerful as we, the people, allow them to be.
Michael Berryman Show on conservativenationmedia.com.
Now on the day I was born, the nurses all gathered around, and they gazed in wide wonder.
And welcome back to the Michael Berryman Show right here on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. We're joined with Mr. Matt Bevin, who is the conservative candidate for U.S. Senate in Kentucky, running against Mitch McConnell. The call-in number is 718-305-7176. We're joined, Matt Bevin. If you could discuss, we've been discussing for this entire 2 hours on the Kentucky race for the most part, but we did touch on Freedom Works is holding an event on April 5th down in Louisville, which is going to be, I believe, the premier speaker is going to be Mr. Glenn Beck, who has openly endorsed you and has had you on his show numerous amounts of times. Can you discuss a little bit about your take on Glenn Beck and Mark Levin and the true conservative voices on radio, on their open endorsement of you and what that really signifies to Mitch McConnell and his team, that basically nobody is coming to Mitch McConnell's side compared to the amount of endorsements that you are starting to get behind? What is that take that you're getting?
Well, I mean, it's humbling, frankly. It's something that I take great encouragement from. I really do, and I'm grateful for their endorsements. But I think it speaks to the fact that what I am representing is the only true conservative alternative in this race. And I'm grateful for the fact that they have recognized that and are willing to come alongside and support it. I think people are offended by the idea that Mitch McConnell, on the one hand, wants to scorn people in the Tea Party, scorn people that are not part of the establishment, scorn Second Amendment groups and pro-life groups. He wants to call them the fringe. He wants to punch them in the nose. He wants to crush them. He's been, you know, over and over and over again, he has been nothing but disdainful of non-establishment Republicans and conservatives in general. But then, ironically, he thinks these people are going to forget that and line up and support him no matter what he says and does. I think people are fed up with it. And I'm grateful to people like Glenn and people like Mark, people like Eric Erickson, people like Judge Napolitano, and a lot of people who've been very supportive of my campaign who see the forest for the trees. And it gives me encouragement. It really does.
Amen. I mean, I love the fact that a lot of them are coming through. I mean, I really wish that we could get Ted Cruz and Sarah Palin on board. Ted Cruz, Scott Hofstra, actually, who's on the air with us right now, he actually stated that Ted Cruz stepped down from a particular committee that he was put on by Mitch McConnell. Scott, are you on the air?
Yeah, I sure am. How you doing, Matt?
Yeah.
Hey, good, Scott. Good talking to you.
Yeah.
If you want to touch on that endorsement that Ted Cruz, that to me is very telling that he stepped down from that particular committee and what he's probably, in my opinion, about to do, because he is the biggest proponent, you know, of, you know, he doesn't like the establishment guys anyway, as we all know, but he is a perfect candidate, a perfect example of someone that can get into the Senate and really make an impact, which is what we feel you can do, Matt, when you get in there. It doesn't matter on what your rating is, on what you go into the Senate as being on the bottom of the totem pole, so to speak. You're going to get in there and be a voice because you have common sense solutions. So I think that Ted Cruz thing is really huge.
Well, I won't pretend to say what Ted Cruz will or won't do, but the fact that he refused to endorse Mitch McConnell and then stepped down from the NRSC this week is telling. I wonder if it's leading up to something.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, we would certainly hope that would be the case. But I think the thing that's awesome about a guy like Ted Cruz, he's a man, whether people like him, whether they don't like him, whether they agree with him, whether they don't disagree with him, or whether they don't agree with him, I should say, he is a man who says what he's going to do, and then he does it. He's a man of conviction. He's a man of principles. And this is the kind of thing that people respect. I think across the board, people respect him for being a man of principle. And he stepped down. He was the vice chair of the NRSC. He was the guy that was responsible for all their grassroots outreach. But he was put there to sort of provide cover for them. And they've done nothing but heap coals on the heads of these very people. And he's man enough and conservative enough and strong enough in his own self-image that he could step out and say, bunk, I'm not going to be a part of this. I'm not going to be your cover for this kind of hypocrisy. And so he stepped down, and I respect him. What he ultimately does is his business. I couldn't be more excited at the idea that he might come and support us, but it's up to him. I don't know that he would. He has more reasons to wrestle with other decisions than most of us even know. But that said, I just applaud him for being a man of conviction.
Amen. And I mean, I think we're going to get his endorsements, but that's neither here nor there because of what we're already doing here in Kentucky on your behalf. I mean, all across every county we go to, every event we go to and attend, we are reaching and persuading independent voters. I mean, we truly are. We're getting in there, and when they get the opportunity to just spend 5 minutes with you, you're able to, not that you have to persuade them, it comes off naturally, which is how you responded on a Glenn Beck radio show. I don't know exactly verbatim on what you said, but it was they kind of chuckled at the fact that it sounded so good on what you said, and you responded by, that's kind of funny how the truth kind of does that to you when you're speaking the truth as far as, you know, whatever you're talking about. It just comes off so naturally, and that's what is very refreshing. It's so refreshing because we don't see that in D.C. We don't see that from politicians today, especially candidate or politicians like Mitch McConnell, who does not speak to the true Kentuckian. He doesn't show up to events. He's not shaking hands. He's not attending luncheons or anything like that, like yourself. So when you are out there in Kentucky and you're reaching the independent voter, that middle of the road person that could be a McConnell, about getting ready to vote for McConnell because he feels, or they feel for that matter, that McConnell is the safe bet. When you encounter those individuals that say, I like what you say, Matt, I really do. I'm in your corner, but I just don't think you stand a chance against Allison Grimes in the general. We get that all the time, and we addressed it a little bit on the show, but I kind of wanted you personally to address that to the listeners on your perspective on that.
Sure. I mean, I'll hit that quick. Bottom line is all of the polling shows that I am as strong or stronger in the general election than Mitch McConnell is against Grimes. Every single survey shows the same thing. The only nonpartisan poll that has been done in a significant way is the Rasmussen poll that was done last month. And the Rasmussen poll shows that head-to-head, McConnell and Grimes are tied. Head-to-head, the very same people ask the same question of Grimes and me. I lead her by 4%. I don't think that's a surprise or a coincidence. The people of Kentucky aren't very enamored with her, but they're absolutely fed up with him. That's why he will not keep the seat. Mitch McConnell's going to lose the seat one way or the other. He's going to lose to me in the primary and give conservatives an opportunity to keep the seat, or he's going to lose in the general. And so anything the listeners can do to come alongside, I'd be grateful. And for those of you who are in Texas, call Ted Cruz. Call his office. Write. Dude, calling is better. Calling is the most powerful medium you have. When you make a phone call to his offices, those messages stack up. And they look at these messages, and those things will have an impact. Email and writing, that's good as well, but phone calls are powerful. And ask him to get involved. Ask him to support me in this race. Ask him to support others as well. Now is not the time to sit on the sidelines. And Ted is nothing if not a bold and courageous person. And I'd love to have some of that courage displayed here in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. I really would.
Exactly. Matt, we really, really appreciate you coming on. What we want to do is tell people definitely we need the support, which is how we supported Ted Cruz in Texas, outside of Texas, rather. We need that exact same support here in Kentucky from Matt Bevin. We need people to make phone calls out of the state. So if you could go to mattbevin.com, obviously he's, you know, appreciative of all the donations, which he definitely needs the donations, but we need people to make phone calls. We need people to go door to door. So if you go to mattbevin.com and sign up to be a volunteer, sign up to actually be part of change. We only change Washington by changing the people that we actually send to Washington. Matt Bevin is going to win the primary on May 20th, and it's going to be because of the volunteers and the grassroots supporters like all of the listeners and all of the people on the ground in Kentucky. Matt Bevin, we appreciate you having you on. Thank you very much for coming on. I will be looking forward to working with you again here soon. We are definitely working hard to get the vote out. And good luck on May 20th, brother.
Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Thanks, Matt. All right, everybody. That was Matt Bevin, conservative candidate for U.S. Senate in Kentucky, running, challenging against Mitch McConnell. Like I said, we definitely want to get out the vote for him. He is, without a doubt, unquestionable, the right individual for the job. I mean, he truly is. It's not about the fact that we do want to get rid of Mitch McConnell. Trust me, we do want to get rid of him. But it's not necessarily just anti-McConnell as much as it is pro-Matt Bevin. That is what we need to focus on. Mitch McConnell has done so many different things on what is truly wrong with Kentucky and America. He's become a domino effect of just failure. 30 years upon failed leadership that is no longer representing the values of Kentucky. So please, please go to Matt Bevin. Speak out. Share on social media. Do everything that you can as far as on your all the media outlets, every pro-Matt Bevin article. Write an article yourself. Do whatever you can to get the voice out. Scott, I definitely want to thank you for co-hosting this particular show with me. Any last words before we make our exit?
No, Jay, I really enjoyed this. Thank you so much for having me on today. And I would also encourage folks listening, please, if you believe in Matt Bevin, if you believe in his campaign, please do whatever you can to help him out.
And where, just for our listeners, if you'd like, where can people get a hold of you? Where are you at, whether it's on social media or whatnot, that people can reach out to you?
Actually, my Twitter handle is at Scott, S-C-O-T-T. Hofstra, H-O-F-S-T-R-A, and on Facebook at Scott Hofstra.
All righty. Thank you, brother. I appreciate, man. You have a great week. You have a great next week for you. All right?
All right. Thanks, Jay.
Yep, thanks, Scott. All right, this is Jay Craig on the Michael Berryman Show. We are wrapping up with the interviews we had with Nancy Mace and Matt Bevin. Thank you all for joining us this afternoon. Thanks, Mr. Michael B. on conservativenationmedia.com. He is here every Sunday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, everybody, and have a great rest of your Sunday.
So much promise with so much pain. Denver was slow.
belly says no use for the bourgeois towns. Reno, San Antonio, El Camino, Nuevo Laredo. You're beaten, bleeding, but stubbornly shining. Trying not to wear hearts on sleeves. That's the way it seems to always be. The salt in the steel of the breath of those not keeping still. Look for you and I know you're out there. In this mind we breathe the same air. Lonely roads and freight trains will keep us sane. You're out there doing what you would die for. Believing till there's no turning back. You're out there doing what you would die for.